I was reminded this morning as we played some of the songs that are, I think today, a little older songs than what I'm used to hearing on a regular basis on a Sunday morning, and I was brought back to really a beginning as we sang songs like "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." How I love to sing your praises. And sometimes I think the church is moving too quickly, you know. Sometimes it just moves too fast, and things just, you know, we try to keep up with people, and we try to keep up with culture, and we try to keep up with time, and we want to make sure we're embracing young people. And yet there's a place inside of me that finds comfort in this older songs. I can sing them to the top of my lungs, as you probably, I'm a terrible singer, but that doesn't stop me from singing to the top of my lungs. And so we're singing these songs and just reminded today how good and really how great God has been to me for many, many, many years. And I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul Mead, and I pastor Gospel Lighthouse Church down in, excuse me, in Hudson Falls, New York. And Pastor Bill is right. There's just, for whatever reason, there's been this season. You know, we all go through seasons, right? That's part of our walk with God. We go through seasons. And right now, my walk with God and the season that we're in at Gospel Lighthouse Church is helping other churches to maybe just give them a hand up. We've been given so much at Gospel Lighthouse Church, and God has been faithful to us, and we're blessed to be a blessing, right? I mean, if God blesses us, then we're blessed to be a blessing to other people. Blessing is never meant to hold on to. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that the tighter you squeeze things, the more they run out of your hands. It's amazing how much more you can hold in your hands with your hands open than when they're shut. And I really think that that's where we're at Gospel Lighthouse Church now. We just have our hand open, and we want to help other churches. And so, excuse me, we've been helping the Bolton Landing Church with the Lord's help, trying to just guide and lead, and been helping the Schuylerville Church as well. And now I'm beginning to help the Saratoga Church that has just fallen on some hard times, and we're just going to help them through a few things. So that's where we're at this morning, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about the church, capital C, the church everywhere. And so if you have your Bibles or device with you, phone, iPad, whatever you use to follow the scripture, it's all good with me. I ask you to open to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 20. It's a letter from Paul to the church of Colossus, and I really think it'll be helpful for you to understand what the Spirit really today is telling us about the church. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 20, and it goes like this. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. How many of you need endurance and patience? I do. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Now, I know that's a lot of scripture. That's a lengthy portion of scripture that, with God's help, I'm going to break down for you today and help you to understand. Here's what God is saying through this portion of scripture. It's very powerful, very meaningful, has everything to do with the church, for the church, in the church, really wants to talk to the church. And I really believe that God will get to us this morning if we let him. Let's pray. Father, your word has been spoken. And now, God, I pray that you help everyone here to have ears that are wide open, hearts that are wide open, minds that are wide open. Help everyone here to be really great listeners today. I pray, God, that you help this man standing before these people to be a great communicator. Help me to communicate the gospel in ways that everyone understands. And I'm going to trust you for that. In Christ's name, amen. Paul is writing to us this morning to produce gratitude for all the great things Jesus has done for us. Paul is writing to us this morning in this little portion of Scripture to produce faith in all the great things the Holy Spirit is yet to do for us. He's writing to us to produce joy. Okay, to produce joy in hearts of those people who might be hurting. Paul is writing to us in this little letter, in this little portion of scripture, to produce excitement and enthusiasm that allows us to press on and see our dreams and our hopes come true. So I prayed this morning for you to have your spiritual kind of eyes open and your spiritual ears open and your spiritual hearts open, because I really want you to hone in, if you will, just for a moment, of what the Lord is saying to the church. This is what the Lord is saying to your church, to the church. If you have, maybe look at somebody right now. Just find somebody to look at. Make eye contact with somebody. Okay? Okay, I'll go with you, Stacy. Okay? And I want you to say this. Say, do you got eye contact with somebody? You ready? Say, I'm the church. All right, now look at them again. You ready? And say, you're the church. I want to talk to the church, and you're it. The scripture is talking to the church this morning, and guess what? It's you. The church is not some building. The church is not some parking lot. The church is not some fellowship hall. The church isn't these pews or this baptismal tank or video or songs. The church is you. And the church is me. And the scripture is always talking to the church. Always, throughout scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament, the scripture is talking to the church, and the church is us. Me. You, whatever you want to call it. But and I want to talk, the person I want to talk to this morning, I want to talk to the church. So guess who I'm talking to? Say, Pastor, you're talking to me. So I just want to make a few points this morning that I think that we can really, and you know, I really encourage you to take notes because, let me just say this, if you're not taking notes, you're not listening. If you're not taking notes, you're not listening. Because by the time lunch comes and a business meeting comes and then the phone call, the email, the Facebook post and the text message comes, by the time all that happens, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't have a clue of what I really said. But if you'll take notes, you can grow. If you take notes, you can learn. If you take notes, you have something you can glean from. Like, wait a second here, it's Wednesday. Let me see what the pastor said about the church. Let me hear what was really being said because if you're not taking notes, what happens is you just end up in the church for about 30 years, but you don't have 30 years of maturity. You have 31-year windows. And so you attend a church for 30 years, but you never grow because you've just been to church 30 years, but 1 year at a time. And that's never been what God intended. God wants you to grow in His Word. God wants you to grow in what He has to say. God wants us to mature in the Lord, but we can't mature if we're not embracing this. If you know what I'm saying, it's important to embrace what the Scriptures have to say. And so, the first point, and I hope you do take notes, because it'll help you. The notes aren't for me, they're for you. And the first point is this, the lifeline of the church is still prayer. The lifeline of the church is still prayer, which means the lifeline of your life is what? Prayer. The lifeline of the church is still prayer. Verse 3. We always pray for you, Paul said, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Paul pray for these people? Because Paul knew it was prayer that brought God into the picture and that God is a God who still answers prayer. In prayer, God overcomes the powers of darkness that are lined up against us. It's in prayer that God releases the resources from heaven that we need. That's why we pray on earth as it is in heaven. If you want heavenly resources released to earth, well, it starts with prayer. In prayer, God communicates His plan for your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? In prayer, God makes you strong enough to stand when temptation comes. If you're not praying, I promise you, when temptation comes, you'll give in. You'll throw in the towel. If you're not connected, if I'm not connected to the Lord in a way that is prayerful, I promise you that when temptation comes, and it will, you will give up. Luke chapter 3 says this, and while Jesus was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. The Bible says while Jesus was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. How many of you would like the heavens to open today and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and make available every resource that's in heaven in your life here on earth? You see, it comes from prayer. It's while Jesus was praying, the Bible says, that the heavens opened. It's while we pray is when we hear from heaven. When there's a rushing wind and a mighty sound and something comes from heaven, it's because we have tuned into God and we have called upon His name. If you want the heavens to open for you, guess what? Pray. If you want the heavens to open for you, call upon the name of the Lord. Your neighbor can only get you through so much. That private message on Facebook can only get you through so much. That text message, whatever, that email can only get you through so much. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll come and rescue you, the Bible says. The Lord will come into your presence if you'll call upon His name. If you want the heavens to open for you, get alone with God. There's so many people out there trying to do life on their own. I see it all the time as a pastor. But the Holy Spirit says, just call upon me and I'll get you through it. Call upon my name. The next thing I want to point your attention to is this. The heartbeat of the church is still the Word. The heartbeat of the church is still the Word. Verse 4 and 5. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Listen, the heartbeat of the church is still the Word. Where do we get this hope? How is hope born even in our hearts? What's the Bible say about this? Verse 5 says, you have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. In other words, it's the Word that is changing us today. It's the Word that is feeding us. It's the Word that puts faith in our heart. It's the Word that makes us healthy. It's the Word that keeps us strong. It's the Word that gives us peace. It's the Word that creates joy in our hearts. It's the Word that gives life. It's the Word that never returns void. It's the Word that reveals God's will. It's the Word who shows us who we can trust. It's the Word that you can stand on. Isaiah said it this way. He said, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of the Lord goes on forever. The seasons change. Things change in your lives. The grass withers. The flowers fade, but the Word of the Lord goes on forever. Whatever is going on in your life right now, sometimes it's good. If good and great things are happening in your life right now, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it's going to fade. It's going to wither. If things are going terrible in your life right now, I'll be the bearer of great news. It's going to fade. It's going to wither. It's going to get back on track again because we're seasonal and that's how life is. Sometimes life is great and sometimes life is not so great. But let me tell you what's great all the time. The Bible says it's the Word of God. The Word of, we can clap for that. Go ahead. The Word of the Lord is what lasts. It's the Word of the Lord. 1 Peter says it this way. You have been born again, but listen, you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. This was something that transferred from Old Testament to New Testament. And Peter said, listen, Listen, this I need to tell you, it's the word of the Lord that's going to last. And it's the word of the Lord that is still the heartbeat of the church. The next thing I want to point your attention to is that the offer of the church is still grace. The offer of the church is still grace. Verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere. Why? By changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. The message of the church was going out to everyone. I mean, the gospel was spreading like crazy. And people everywhere were receiving God's grace and getting saved. People don't get saved and then receive God's grace. It's by grace we have been saved. When you understand the grace of God and you understand the love of God and you understand the mercy of God, it gives you the kind of deep, heartfelt understanding that, wait a second here, maybe there is a better life for me. Maybe there is a greater hope for me. Maybe there's something on the other side of the season I'm going in and going through, and I'm about to give my life to God because I've never experienced a life or a love like this. And that's why we sing, there's no shadow he won't light up or mountain he won't climb up to come after me. There's no wall he won't kick down or lie he won't tear down to come after me because of the overwhelming, never-ending love of God. He'll go through it for you. Whatever it takes to get to you is what he wants to do to get to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It doesn't matter if it's lost coins, lost sheep, or lost sons, because he'll sweep the ground until he finds the one. He'll leave the 99 and go find the one, and he'll stand waiting for that son to come home, and when he sees him coming, he'll run to him, wrap his arms around him, and say, "Welcome home." It's the grace of God that is still the offer of the church. It's the grace of God is the offer of the church. And if you're the church, it's the grace of God that needs to be offered from you to every person you come in contact with. Everybody that God allows you to touch, the grace of God is still the offer of the church. Paul writes this and he's excited while he's writing it. Why? Because Paul had come to realize that God's grace was able to change every person who received it. Acts chapter 9 says this. It says, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. The same guy that wrote what I just read at one time was killing Christians. The Bible says he was eager to kill. And as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And a voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Then the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul, who later was called Paul, Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul." Let me tell you something. When you know that somebody is out there killing Christians, when you know that somebody is out there trying to tear the church apart, when you know that somebody is out there trying to tear you apart and everybody around you apart, guess what you don't want to do? You don't want to go to them. You don't want to be the one that goes over there. And you can almost imagine Ananias say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a second, Lord, I'm not your guy. find somebody else to... He kills Christians. But no, he said, no, Ananias, you go over there. You go. And back to the first point. He says, because you know why you can go? He says, behold, he prays. He's praying to me right now, Ananias, almost as if to say, that's the sign of a changed life. Someone who will call out to God and cry out to God. It's what we all need to do. So Ananias went and found Saul, the Bible said. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue saying, He is indeed the Son of God. Can you imagine? From a Christian killer to someone who was just serving. He wrote most of the New Testament. Everybody can get God's grace. The offer of grace is the offer of the church. And Paul received it, and all who heard him were amazed. And the same grace that was available for Paul is available for you right now, because the grace of God is offered to everyone. How do I know? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. There is sin, let's face it. But where sin abounded, the Bible says grace abounded much more. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. And that's the offer of the church. The next thing I want to point your attention to is the power of the church is still the Holy Spirit. The power of the church is still the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power. So what is this power? It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same power that raised me from the dead. It's the same power that raised you from the dead. It's the same power that will raise anyone you come in contact with from the dead. It's the same power, because the same power living in you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I got that same power. You got that same power, and we got to tap into that power. But we got to be the kind of church or the kind of place that Jesus wants to dwell, that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell. I took my kids, my grandkids, I took my grandkids up to this Queensbury pool. Okay, they got this pool in Queensbury. It's at the school. So you go there. It's free. I don't even know the whole schedule or anything, so I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, you take your kids there, they swim, and it's free. Here's a problem. I go in that place. It is so filled with chlorine. The air, it's like 90 degrees in there. The chlorine is just like everywhere. I can't stand being in there. Like, the kids are like, swim. They're jumping. I'm like, I want out of here. That environment is not a place that I want to dwell. And I just want to ask you now, is the environment that you have in your life right now a place that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell? Does the Holy Spirit want to dwell in the environment that you're creating for Him? Because let me tell you something. I don't want no part of that chlorine-infested 90-degree make me want to get sick pool. And I want to tell you that if the power of the church is still the Holy Spirit, then we ought to have some kind of environment as the temple of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would want to dwell. And if we're going to walk in the kind of power, and we're going to see the kind of promise, and we're going to experience the full plan of God in Bolton Landing at Solid Rock Church, we need to be a church where the Holy Spirit wants to dwell. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. Because let me tell you, when people see it in you, and they know that you're the kind of people where the Holy Spirit dwells, this place will fill up magnetically because everybody wants to be around something that's different than what they're around right now. Oh, people can tell you, I don't want nothing to do with God. Yes, they do. People can tell you, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Yes, they do. People can tell you, oh, the church is just a bunch of hypocrites and you go your way and I'm going to go my way. But as soon as they say that, there's a little conviction that goes through their heart that just wonders if they're wrong. And the way you help them to know that they are wrong is to make sure that you're creating an environment inside of you where the Holy Spirit dwells. Because the power of the church is still the Holy Spirit. Next thing, the head of the church is still Jesus. The head of the church is still Jesus. Verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. Paul is using a picture here that, now follow this, he's using a picture that we can all understand. It's the picture of a human body. The human body gets its direction and control from what's in the head, the brain, right? Never mind. I like wonder sometimes. Like, have you ever wondered if your brain was working right? Never mind. I just sometimes I wonder, I'm glad I'm made in the image of God, because if I was made in the image of me, it would be awful. It would be awful. The human body gets its direction and control from what's in the head, the brain. So Paul is saying, so the church gets their direction and wisdom and guidance from the head, which is Jesus. Are you tracking with me? As the human body is compelled to carry out the wishes of the brain, okay? So you and I, who make up the church, need to be compelled to carry out the wishes of Jesus. Am I making sense? Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. John said, God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the spirit and the truth. Hebrews said, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Matthew said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Galatians says, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The head of the church is still Jesus. Luke said, the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and save that which was lost. In other words, the Lord is still alive and He's leading the church. The Lord still does things well, and He still gives direction. The Lord is still aware of what's best for you, believe it or not. The Lord knows what's best for you. The Lord knows what's best for me. The Lord still knows what we need more than we do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Don't trust yourself. You can't be trusted. I can't be trusted. In myself, I'm of no good. But with Christ in me, I'm of all good. And we need to understand this, that the head of the church is still Jesus. The Lord is still the steering wheel. And He's still in control. We sing songs like, "Jesus, take the wheel." Or at least some people do. I don't know that song. I just heard the title. But it's a good idea. Just let Jesus take the wheel. Next thing. The price of the church is still the blood. The price of the church is still the blood. Verse 20. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. What did it cost God to save you and me? Christ's blood on the cross. In other words, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can't make yourself well. You can't make yourself whole. You can't forgive yourself of sin. You can't cleanse yourself. You can't set yourself free. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what sets the sinner free. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the blood that reconciles us back to God. It's the blood that allows God to forgive us. It's the blood that frees us from guilt and condemnation. It's the blood that gives us access to God. And knowing we have access to God, Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You want help in your time of need? Go boldly to the throne room of grace to receive mercy and grace. I hope you're hearing me today. Because we've got to get to God, everybody. Whatever you're going through in life, I'm telling you, you've got to get to God. Whatever is happening in and through and around and about you, I promise you the answer is get to God. And when you accept Christ into your heart, you can come boldly to the throne room of grace to receive mercy and grace and get the answers that you need in the time that you need them because of what Christ has done for you through what God has done for you through His Son Jesus. I mean, that's how it works. Last thing. The lifeline to the church is still prayer. The heartbeat to the church is still the Word. The offer to the church is still grace. The power to the church is still the Holy Spirit. The head of the church is still Jesus. The price to the church is still the blood. And the future of the church, last thing, is still glorious. The future of the church is still glorious. I know it don't look good some days. I do. Watch the news, read the newspaper, follow along what's happening in our world, and you're like, oh my goodness sakes, what's next? But I promise you this, that the future of the church, and you're the church, is still glorious. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give in. Don't you dare give up. Because your future, the future of the church, is still glorious. How do I know? Because it's what the Word of God says. Verse 27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. You see, while we're here on earth, we'll have to settle for walking in His presence. That sounds pretty good, though. But when we die, we're going to walk into His presence. 1 Thessalonians says, then, together with them who are still alive and remain on the earth, we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. The lifeline to the church is still prayer. The heartbeat to the church is still the Word. The offer to the church is still grace. The power to the church is still the Holy Spirit. The head of the church is still Jesus. And the future of the church is still glorious. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that we can count on You, and we know, God, that You're going to come through, Lord, in our time of need. I pray, God, for each person here today that we would be able to firmly grasp the setting of this Scripture and how it is a great encouragement to the church, which means it's a great encouragement to us. I pray now, God, that these words would sink deep down into our hearts. God, that we would leave here today knowing that You're in control. Your promises are yes and amen. The plan for our lives are great. The future of the church is even greater. I thank You for that today in Christ's name. Amen.